From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And today is Friday. Welcome. You are one of the first people to hear our rebooted Friday program. We're back to 5 days a week for the first time in many years, certainly before I joined the show in 2020. Most Fridays here on The 21st Show will follow a pattern, a statewide news roundup with public radio reporters from around Illinois. Then in the middle part of the program, we'll dive into government and politics. And finally, we'll end with a segment on culture, music, food, arts, hobbies. Before we get to our local reporter roundtable, I first want to acknowledge two significant news stories that happened this week. The Chicago area was hit with severe weather on Wednesday, with at least 8 tornadoes touching down.
Dozens of homes and businesses damaged, the debris littering parking lots, car windows smashed, the city's airports facing ground stops.
Meanwhile, in the Metro East, a Greyhound bus crashed into 3 parked semis on Interstate 70, killing 3 and leaving 14 others injured.
This is the Silver Lake rest area where the crash happened. There are open spots right now for truckers to pull over and get rest. But at any given time, all of these spots are filled. So they pull over along the entrance and exit ramps.
Everyone is in danger when you are not safely parking these vehicles, because there's not enough space.
We will continue to follow those stories. And with that, let's get to our first roundtable. We're joined now by Jennifer Fuller, Associate Director of News and Public Affairs at NPR station WSIU in Carbondale. And listeners, Jen could not join us live today, but for reasons that will become clear, we really wanted to include her in our first Friday roundtable. I talked with her yesterday afternoon. Jen, welcome to The 21st Show.
Hey, Brian, thanks.
All right, so let's talk about what's happening in Southern Illinois. I think the story that's been getting the most statewide coverage, maybe even national coverage, is the matchup that's coming between incumbent Congressman Mike Bost and former gubernatorial candidate Darren Bailey. What's going on there?
Sure, Brian. That one really, you know, has a lot of people talking. And for people who watch politics, they will not be surprised to hear me say that, of course, the 12th Congressional District looks slightly different. We've had one election now with this new 12th District, which includes a whole lot of territory in East Central and Southeastern Illinois that it didn't used to cover. Congressman Bost has been in office for several elections now, but most of his territory would include southwestern Illinois, so along the Mississippi River to roughly about Interstate 57, if you know the map very well, and up into the Metro East area. Well, when the Illinois legislature redrew the map, of course, they drew Congressman Bost and Congresswoman Miller into the same district. Congresswoman Miller opted to move and run against Rodney Davis and, of course, won that election. So now there leaves a bit of a hole in terms of representation from the Eastern Bloc area, as it's known, and former state senator Darren Bailey, who was also the GOP nominee for governor last year, has decided that he'd like to take a stab at being in Congress. And so he announced on the 4th of July that he'd be running against Congressman Bost. And it has turned into this, who is more conservative? Who is an insider? Who is an outsider? And the big question may be, which of these two candidates, who have both in the past received an endorsement from former President Donald Trump, would receive it in the future? So those are all questions that people are starting to ask about. They're starting to say, well, who has more money and who has more recognition and where are the votes? And all of those questions are going to have to be answered within the next, roughly 6 to 8 months before the primary.
I'm sure that's going to be exciting to keep an eye on down there. And as you said, we've certainly seen candidates, two candidates that previously had the backing of former President Trump, and then he had no problem picking sides and casting one aside. So it'll be interesting to see how that proceeds in Southern Illinois there. Let's look ahead now to the upcoming school year at Southern Illinois University. You recently sat down with the SIU chancellor, Austin Lane, in Carbondale. What does he have to say?
he's really feeling optimistic about how things will go this year. There's, of course, a plan that he's had in place for a while now called Imagine 2030. It takes a look at what they think SIU can and should look like by the year 2030. And that includes an enrollment total somewhere around 15,000 students. Right now, it's between 11 and 12,000 students. And that was after a big drop over the last couple of decades. They've been working very hard to build those numbers back up, and they've seen record numbers of new students over the last couple of years. They've worked very hard on retention, keeping those new students in class for a second, third, fourth, and perhaps even fifth or sixth year. And they're also focusing on graduation rates, retention rates all the way through when a cohort enters, all the way through as colleges and universities are judged their sixth year, and also graduate students, which are also very important for a university like SIU Carbondale that has a research mission. You need a lot of those grad students to be research assistants, working in the labs and helping those scientists on the studies that bring in big dollars for grants and things like that.
And SIU Carbondale, of course, is a major economic engine for the city of Carbondale and the entire region in southern Illinois. And Jen, for those who follow national news, Dairy Queen has popped up in for a visit by the former president and his apparent confusion or unfamiliarity with the Blizzard treat, of course, one of the greatest ice cream concoctions known to humankind. But there's a Dairy Queen in your neck of the woods that's making news, right? What's the story there?
Yeah, it's a really iconic Dairy Queen, which was on what's known as the Strip in Carbondale. That's South Illinois Avenue. It's where all of the kind of student hangouts are. There are bars and restaurants there, some stores as well. But this Dairy Queen had been on the Strip for decades. Generations of Salukis know that Dairy Queen. And there was a bit of a, I don't know whether to call it a misunderstanding or how to best describe it, but basically the Dairy Queen Corporation decided that they were not going to continue with this outlet. And so pretty abruptly, it was closed. And there was a lot of community outcry, you know, lots of people tagging Dairy Queen in their social media posts and saying, how could you let this happen? And it even got to the point where there was this iconic neon sign on top of this stand. It was not, you know, there was no drive-through for this. It was a walk-up store. And they even had to take down this iconic Dairy Queen sign. They turned it on for one last time so people could come and take pictures. And then they took the sign down. And a lot of people were really concerned about, you know, what's going to happen? This was someplace that I took my kids. This was someplace that I went as a child. And it opened back up this week to a lot of celebration. It's known as the Big Chill. And people are really excited about it. You know, there's been this groundswell of support for local businesses at any rate across, not just here in Illinois, but across the country. And so this is just one more example of people saying, oh, this is great. We're going to keep this touchstone for our community and, you know, have some great treats at the same time.
You do not want to come between a central or southern Illinois town and its Dairy Queen, 100%.
This is true.
All right. So this is your first and last time on our Friday Reporter Roundtable, at least in your role at WSIU. What's happening, Jen?
I'm really excited. I have accepted a job with Capital News Illinois, which many people are familiar with. It's a nonprofit news organization that really focuses its coverage on the Illinois State Capitol and the happenings in and around state government. And they're expanding from what was primarily a print operation into a broadcast operation as well. So I've accepted a job as broadcast director, and I'll be building a team and the system to get more content out to radio and television stations and online platforms across Illinois. So it's really exciting, and I'm just couldn't be happier to be joining the team.
Well, Jen, you have been a cornerstone of public media here in Illinois as long as I've been in public radio, and we will miss you, but I'm glad that you are helping to stand up this new organization. More news organizations in 2023 is a good thing.
Yes.
Congratulations. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Jen Fuller is Associate Director of News and Public Affairs at WSIU, at least through the end of today. All right, and we are back live on air now, and we're now heading to the opposite end of the state, looking at what's making news in the DeKalb and Rockford area. Joining us now to discuss all things Northern Illinois is Yvonne Booz, who covers arts, culture, and spiritual expression for our partner station, WNIJ. Yvonne, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And listeners, you can also join us now that we are on live again at 800-222-9455. If there's something you're seeing in your part of the state, you can let us know about it. Again, 800-222-9455. So let's, Yvonne, let's begin with Northern Illinois University. There are some new efforts there in the realm of diversity and equity and inclusion underway. What's happening?
Right now, you know, after everything that's happened with the Supreme Court and affirmative action, NIU is actually still trying to make sure that they're working on diversity, equity, and inclusion. So our WNIJ's Maria Laura Gardner actually spoke with Northern Illinois University's first Vice President for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, Dr. Bernice Edgehill Walden. And they talked about how it's been a push to include faculty of color. And despite the efforts, little progress has been made. One highlight is the psychology department. They don't have not one Black or Latino professor in the department. In 2013, Black professors were at 3% and Hispanics were at nearly 3%. And a decade later, it's only went up by 2% for Black professors and less than a percentage point for Hispanic professors. So what they're doing, they're working on something called cluster hiring, which is trying to bring in cohorts of teachers. And also they are working on growing your own, which are trying to take students of color, hire them to do research after completing their doctorate in hopes that they stay on as faculty.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. We're trying to hit as many topics as we can in these short segments. So let's move on to transportation now. And we had a conversation on high speed rail earlier this week on the program. This is not a high speed rail thing, but just rail period. And Governor Pritzker was in Rockford to talk about Metra there. What's happening with that?
Yes, Governor Pritzker was in Rockford, I want to say on the early, I think the 6th of July, and they're saying that they're looking to bring Metra to the city by 2027. They're thinking that it will be like a commute time from Chicago to Rockford for about 2 hours. The fares are still being determined, and this is in place because of a $275 million in rail improvements from the rebuild Illinois statewide infrastructure plan.
Did they say what line that would be? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
And Rockford hasn't had passenger operated rail service since 1981 with Amtrak. So this is exciting news for the city.
Yeah. Wow. Are they going to have to build new tracks, or are they going to find an existing right of way, or maybe that's still being worked out?
It didn't say anything about building new tracks, but it looks like there are already existing tracks because the backdrop of the meeting was behind rail tracks.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. So I mentioned your focus of your reporting is arts, culture, and spiritual expression. I understand Rockford has a new cultural plan. What does that look like?
Okay, so this is something that a lot of cities across the world are doing just to bring the community together and make sure that they're reaching everyone and including everyone in regards to arts and culture. So maybe about a month ago, they had a big kickoff meeting where they invited a lot of key players in Rockford, a lot of community members, and they had like round tables. I went and I sat at one of the tables and they talked about, okay, what's working in the city in regards to Rockford art and culture. And one of the things that was brought up is that people were saying that they don't know what's going on. They don't know where to go. And so me as a reporter, I just reminded them of some of the resources we have at the stations. And then later on, the Rockford Area Arts Council brought in a group of reporters and talked about what they're doing and, you know, wanted our input because they want to involve everyone. So that includes the media. So they're still working on it. They recently had a meeting. So they'll continue through the until the fall with working and making sure they're bringing people together. And I want to segue for a minute into one of the things that they recently had, which Friday night they had their annual fundraiser, which is called Entourage. And what they did, they had it at a new venue. It's a studio in Rockford. It's called City Stage Studios, and it's a movie studio. So the Rockford Arts Council brought the community together there so that they can show off the studio, so that the community knows that, hey, this great resource is here, where they are able to do commercials there. The guy is working, his name is Josiah Stromstrom. He's the co-owner. He's working on maybe having like a room for podcasters to come in and do their podcast, or maybe a something for musicians, or, you know, for people to come in and do records and things like that. So it's a great space. And I did talk to someone there, and they were saying that Rockford is great because, you know, it's not too far from Milwaukee. It's not too far from Chicago.
Yeah.
And it's not with the, you know, the hustle and bustle of the city and downtown and parking. They don't have to worry about any of that.
Maybe Chicago Fire and Chicago Med. There's so many spinoffs. Maybe we'll have a Rockford Med someday.
That would soon. Be amazing.
All right. Yvonne Booz covers arts, culture, and spiritual expression for our partner station, WNIJ. Thank you for being with us on our first Friday broadcast in many years. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Again, if you want to join our conversation, 800-222-9455. But even when we're not on the air, we love hearing what you think about what we talked about. So send an email to us. You can find our address and our voicemail line, every other way to contact us on our website, 21stshow.org. More to come in just a moment. Stay with us.